Okay, so this is an informal seminar, but I think I will do the presentation partly, at least using the projection, and also Ravil is here and is the result of a collaboration that I'm on which we are working, and is work in progress, and so. Well, anything one can, is also participating in a certain sense. So, the main idea that we are interested in is classifying equation of this class, which seems the most simple class that one can find on the lattice, and which involved us just 4 points, and is the minimum number of points necessary to have some evolution. Now, I will present some partial result on construction of integrability condition, at least constructing certain number of integrability conditions that one obtained by requiring that this equation has some generalized symmetries, and then we will find the last part. I will just say a few words about this class, this example, which is a class depending only on one function of one unknown. This, of course, is a very simple case of this. A priori, doing the continuous limit from this class of equation, we can obtain many, many equations. But of course, the result will tell that this, even if it may contain integrable equation like Sine-Gordon, Zitzekar, and Liouville equation, still in itself this is not integrable as it has no generalized symmetry can be constructed from this, at least in a certain class.
What kind of functions F do you have in mind?
What
kind of functions F do you have in mind?
Will be specified, of course. Well, in the sense, it's the most general ones, but of course it can be such that all derivative respect to the old variable must be different from zero. That is, it should contain all 4 points. So, but we don't have any limitation to be, well, we need...
no restriction to rational functions?
No. No, a priori no.
If it's just an arbitrary function of three variables,
right. Okay.
And phi is arbitrary function in one.
So is there a reason why you don't consider an equation with just 3 points?
Well, 3 points will not evolve. How you can evolve in two-dimensional space?
Initial data on a horizontal line can evolve vertically.
So you give two and one. That is like a triangle. That well, then okay then. Okay. Well, this. Maybe it's, I don't know. Well, this also this is the one that many people have been working and so on. So that is one of another reason I would say for that. Okay, I think the starting point is to show why we need to go into why we think that it's necessary to go into to consider some. some other construction of another formalism to another way of classifying integrable equation on the lattice. And the main thing is the fact that of this kind, and the main is the fact that the equations that there had been already a classification by Adler, Bobienko, Suris, which we have seen a lot in this in this room in these days, and which are correspond to a class of equation of this form, where they are, where f is, which are affine linear equations, or multilinear equation, someone prefer to say. Now, of course, the integrability, which has been proved by Adler, Bobienko, Suris, is based on the consistency around the cube, or 3D consistency, in which we heard a lot yesterday. We start from our equation, which is defined on the square, and then we require that this is valid on all. We give another point on the cube, given the point on the lattice ij, we introduce a third index k, and we give a further point uij k plus 1, and then by using the equation in the different planes, we can construct the term i plus 1 j plus 1 k plus 1 in three different ways, and this must be give the same result.
You use same equation in different planes.
Yes.
Or different, same.
Well, there can be difference by the parameter.
Ah, so different.
Well, yeah.
Well, different, okay.
But the structure is the same, that is the structure.
It's family.
So you have parameter
you always can include three or four
systems. And then, okay, so they introduced two further constraints, which one is D4 symmetry, that is the symmetry of the square, and the second is the tetrahedron property, which says that the element on the I plus 1, J plus 1, and K plus 1 is independent on the element UI, JK. And then this equation that one obtained are invariant under equivalence group, which is given by a Möbius transformation and point change of all variables. Now, and these are the list just for, from the H list and the Q list are the two big lists that were obtained by Adler, Bobienko, and Suris. Of which the most important is probably the last one, Q4. Now there had been a lot of work done after the work of Adler, Bobienko, and Suris, mainly to show the symmetries and generalized symmetries. Of course, the point symmetry are minimal, they are not much, but one can construct generalized symmetries, and they had been constructed at 3-point and 5-point generalized symmetries. And then one can show that there is a master symmetry so that you can go over to any, you have an infinite class of generalized symmetries. Now, and what it came out is the fact that generalized symmetries, which are differential difference equations, have the property that first of all are correspond to either an evolution in the I direction or an evolution in the J directions, and are all subcases of this equation, which is a discretization of the Krejci-Viernovikov equation, which is an equation which contains six parameter. Is a rational equation with six parameter. From our point of view, the main problem is the fact that there are subcases, so they do not, even the case of Q4, do not cover completely, the symmetries for Q4 do not cover completely this discretization of the Krejci-Viernovikov equation. So this seems to show that the class of equation that one can consider that are belonging to the other Bobienko-Suris class is somehow restricted. And in fact, one can easily present an example of equation which is not 3D consistent and do not have the symmetries that were necessary for the classification of other Bobienko-Suris. And this is based on very old results, mainly his connection between his well-known result, which goes back to Vadati, in which he showed that if you take what I call the modified Volterra equation and the Volterra equation, they are related by two Miura transformations. What you can do, you can compose these two Miura transformation to get a solution of the a solution of the Volterra equation in terms of solution of two different solution of the modified Volterra equation, and this of course provides a background transformation for the modified Volterra equation, which can be always be interpreted as a discrete equation, interpreting the transformed solution as a solution corresponding to an evolution in a different direction, and then this gives you what we call the discrete modified Volterra equation or Volterra, that is. So this equation, which is not 3D consistent and it's not invariant under the exchange of I and J, so it has not the D4 symmetry. It has some symmetry and is it's symmetric with respect to a rotation of pi in the plane.
It could be that this is a subcase or a degeneration of bigger equation with parameters, which is 3D. That kind of examples I know exist.
I don't know. Well, I know this is not 3D consistent. I don't know if it's a degeneration.
But it is probably consistent with other equations around the group. So probably if you have two of these equations on two faces and then a third equation which looks different.
Yeah, but then this is not... because the problem is that, of course, you can... Then it's different. That is because that corresponds in some sense. If you use two different equations on different phases, completely different, then of course you can construct always a system which is 3D consistent, almost always, if you use by choosing appropriately. But then this means that in some sense it's like considering an IJ dependent equation is no more in the original space is no more this equation.
You mean non-autonomous?
Yes.
There is a relation between this equation and some more IBC list, but not on the level of Miura transformations, like that. No, not, not so, no, not.
Those, of course, So this equation is completely integrable. Well, it's very one can construct in the same way as one can construct the equation. One can construct the Lax pair, and one can show that there is, of course, you can, the modified Volterra and the Volterra equation, the R symmetries for this, the modified Volterra and the class of the modified are symmetries for this equation, are generalized symmetries, and also we have also a generalized symmetry in the y direction. This is given by this equation, and it's a general, it's a, and the other of the class.
The equation is completely asymmetric. Symmetries are quite different here. Two directions, we have quite different polynomial versions.
But the examples that I remind are examples where you have parameters. And if you identify one of these parameters with one of the lattice directions, you break all the symmetries. But the bigger equation,
you mean you think of the last article by Adler, Bobienko, Suris, in which they consider completely generic 3-6 equation in some sense, for each
systems are not looping. Systems of 6 equations are defined on a cube union, as in the
so much simpler examples, actually, where you have an equation which is really consistent in the strict sense, but where there are parameters, and if you choose one of the parameters to coincide with one of the lattice parameters, then you break the covariance of the equation. But you have the property that there is still a weaker form of inconsistency where you have a different equation, say, on the top.
It should be discussed more detailed, because at the moment it's not clear.
Yeah, well, this in some sense shows some the fact that the 3D consistency may show that the 3D consistency in some sense do not completely fix the because if you can have a 3D consistent equation which contain a non-3D consistent one, then this means that it's not well defined in a certain sense.
Well, just maybe
because
too
it's not
strong,
uniquely
too strong a notion.
Well, that's what we want to say, that you need to go further. This equation has also conservation laws, discrete conservation, and these are two non-trivial local discrete conservation for this equation. Okay, so this was fundamentally the reason why to go into this kind of research, that is to find other techniques which are not related to the 3D consistency, which can provide some classification of difference equation of this class. Now, so we start we write the class of equation in this way, that is we consider autonomous equations, so not n dependent I and j dependent coefficients. So we can always write with respect to some reference index, and so by one there are two, by zero it means I, one means is j in this case, and from I means I plus 1. And what I require on F is just that the derivative of F respect to the three variables are different from 0. So that there is a strict dependence on the four variables in the definition of the of our equation. We introduce two shift operators, T1 and T2. T1 shift the first index, and T2 shift the second one. And then, of course, I can shift the point IJ to any other point in the space by applying the shift. So I can shift by I and by I time and J time, starting from the original point, and then I get this is I plus 1, I think, and J plus 1. This is a mistake. So I can obtain any point on the lattice in terms of starting from the three. I can start in from the four point. I can construct any point on the plane, and we have to define what are the independent variables for our system, and we choose them. This is to be the axis that is as independent variables, and then from that we can construct all the that is starting from the two axes. I can construct any point that is by giving the any point inside and also on the other side. First by constructing the one nearby, and then by constructing the other. But the equations, of course, for the if you write in terms of the F, the equation, as long as you go inside, the equation becomes more and more messy. The structure of the functions. Now, a generalized symmetry is given as an evolutionary equation for the for U00, which is given by a function which depends on the independent variables, and depends on n minus n prime point on one axis, and k minus k prime on the other axis. And this is, in effect, you want that this depend essentially, at least on a certain number of points. Well, of course, if it depends just on one point, that is, then this is on the point U00, that would be just a point symmetry. So T is the group parameter, and of course, using the shift operator, we can shift the action, that is the symmetry applied to any point of the in any point of the plane. And the symmetry condition is just the fact that the compatibility of the equation with the with the symmetry. So if I make the derivative with respect to the group parameter of the equation, and then that must be identical whenever the equation is satisfied. Whenever the equation is satisfied, not only in any point of the in any point of the lattice. So here is the various condition, it's just that g11 minus the derivative of f0 with respect to t, the total derivative should be equal to 0, which is equivalent to the to this equation. So g11 is g10 derivative of f0 with respect to u10 with u00 and u01, which are different from 0 by construction, that is because of the, of these conditions. Now, what we can see is that effectively there is, due to the structure of the equation, we can we have the following. We can construct the values of u in the point near to the boundaries. It is either u1 or 1j, that are these two lines, and this will have this will depend on the structure of uij. For example, if I is greater than 0, ui 1 is a function which depends on ui0, so it depends on the same point and all the previous point and the point u01. So there is this. So if I take this point here, this will depend on this as independent function and on this. And then if I make the derivative of it with respect to I0, I get that this is just equal to the shift I minus 1 time with respect to the first variable of the derivative of f with respect to u 10. So there is, and this I can do for in all cases. That is, if I is less than 0, and then for also for the second variable. So I have some relations which tell me what are the derivative with respect to this one shifted point. And these are necessary when I consider here to try to get something out of this symmetry invariance conditions. So a generalized symmetry depend on at least one variable of the form I0, and then the number n and n prime are the orders of the symmetry. And of course I have order on one side, and I can have also an order on the other. But with respect to the second index. Now, and then we can prove this theorem. I will just state it and not prove, because it's a question of just presenting ideas and not giving not proving. And this is, if the equation has a generalized symmetry, then one of the following relation must be valid. That is, that I have that if n is greater than 0, I will have that the shift, n times shift minus 1 of the logarithm of the derivative of f with respect to 1 u10 must be is expressed in terms of the logarithm of the generalized symmetries. So from one and similarly for in the other conditions in other cases. Now, what is from this point of view, if we have an equation, that means that F is given, and then this is a condition for the generalized symmetries. And this condition has looked like has the form of a conservation law, in the sense that I have this I can is of the form of t minus 1 with respect to t 1 minus 1, and this is 1 minus t 2. So this is correspond to the structure of a conservation laws. So the existence a generalized symmetry is given by the sometimes provide the form of a conservation law. If this conservation law is valid, then a generalized symmetry exists. Now, of course, the fact that it is a standard conservation law can be, of course, obtained from there, take into account the fact that if I take t to any power minus 1, I can always write as a t minus 1 multiplied by combination, a linear combination of the shift operator, power of the shift operator. Now, of course, so given a generalized symmetry, one can construct conservation law. Now, if we assume, well, usually when you have generalized symmetries, they appear as a series. We can so assume that there exists a further that another generalized symmetry exists of different orders, and the orders are given by the n tilde, n prime tilde, k tilde, and k tilde prime. We can write four conservation laws. That is, for each of the cases, that is, if n is greater than 0 and prime is n plus 1, then we have a conservation law which is given by corresponding to m equal 1, where the p1 is given by the logarithm of the derivative of f, while the q is an unknown. So if this conservation law we are able to satisfy this conservation law, so to find the q0 which satisfy this, in the case m equal 1, then we will get this is a necessary condition for the existence of two generalized symmetries for our system. If we are not able, then we don't know if there will be generalized symmetries or not. There will not be. No, if there will not be a generalized symmetries. Now the proof is more or less quite easy, somehow direct, but I don't want to enter into it as time. So for our class of equation, which have four necessary conditions for integrability, in the sense that there must exist some finite range functions, which are Q1, which I discussed before, but Q2, P3, and P4, which satisfy the these conservation laws. Of course, the P1 and P2 are and Q3 and Q4 are given in terms of the equation we started from, while the, and these are to be found. The Q1, Q2, P3, P4 are to be function to be obtained as solution of these conservation laws. So an equation will be considered integrable if it has a generalized symmetry of finite order, so depending on a finite number of fields. And that is the basic assumption. And this was always the case in the results shown by Tongas and by Haydon for the ABS equation. And we showed it for the example that this is the case. Now, the problem is that the condition that we wrote down to prove integrability or to prove the existence of generalized symmetry of finite order is the fact that the existence of some function defined on the, of finite order which are obtained by solving this this difference equation, which is the conservation laws. So the problem is to show the existence of some function, for example, in the case of P1, to show the existence of some function Q1 of finite order which satisfy this conservation law. And this is, in some sense, a big problem. Because in the case of differential difference equation, then they depend, well, to prove it, you have to go into the that this the their existence. One has to go down to the independent variables and prove by differentiating to the dependent variables and to prove that that this equation is satisfied on by differentiating with respect to the independent variables as many times as we want and simplifying the result. Now the and this gives condition show us if the existence or non-existence of a function Q0. Now, in the case of the differential difference case, the independence variables were just all shifted points, all UJ. And then, in this case, we had this variational operator which provide us with the condition that if the variational derivative of a function Q was equal to zero, then the Q was a total difference. Now, in this case, this is no more valid. That is, you can no more consider the, or at least that this variational derivative provide you with that it existed. The fact that this is zero do not provide the fact that Q is a total difference in the case of partial difference equation. Now, so the real problem is to have a good way to define to characterize a function which is a total difference. So to get some definite result, we limited ourselves to the case of finite point generalized symmetries. So we considered that our G is just depend on 5 points, U1, 0 up to U0 minus 1. And so our integrability at this, for this moment, at least in this limited case, is the existence of a 5-point generalized symmetry. Now, we can show that if our equation has a 5-point generalized symmetry, then we have that the function Q0, 1, and 2 will be just function of U of the shifted value in the first index, while the P3, 4, which are the function we have to find to solve these conservation laws, which were condition for the existence of generalized symmetries, will depend just on the shifted, on 3 points shifted in the other direction. Now, using these relations, we get that the Q1 and Q2 will be just the shift of the logarithm of the derivative of G of the symmetry with respect to U1, 0, or U minus 1, 0, and P3 and P4 will be also related to the log of the symmetry, but by shifting respect to the second variables. So given from a given equation, we can now check what we have to do is to check the integrability conditions. Now, if the integrability conditions are satisfied, we can construct a general solution and the partial derivative of G0, of the we get out of it the partial derivative of the symmetries. Now, this partial derivative of the symmetries has to satisfy some conditions from here. And these conditions are the fact that if I make the derivative of G respect to U1, 0, and then I differentiate respect to U minus 1, 0, this must be equal to the result that one obtained by the differentiating U with respect to minus 1, 0, and then with respect to U, 1, 0. So these are an existence condition for the function G. And the same for the respect to the derivative respect to U 0, 1 or U 0, minus 1. So we have this extra due to the fact that we have chosen to have only 5 points, we get this extra additional integrability conditions. And if this is satisfied, then we get that our symmetry is defined up to an arbitrary function of U00, which means up to a point transformation. And now, of course, once we have the form of G, then we have to introduce it into the... These are obtained by some sense by differentiation. So we have to... The real proof of the integrability is given by the integrability conditions, and this is the final integrability conditions, so that the this effectively is satisfied. And the G00 we obtain will be of this form. Now let's go over to the classification problem, just to see one example of classification. So we start from this class of functions. That is, when a big F, F0, 0 is given, is linear in two variables, U1, 0 and U0, 1, but is an arbitrary function of the U0, 0. And we want it to be nonlinear, so we want that the second derivative is different from 0. And now, of course, the structure is such that not all of the four integrability conditions are good, because some are trivials, but at least, and we, for example, the one that is non-trivial is the case when m equal 2, then p2, which is given in terms of the equation, is just equal to the logarithm of the first derivative of phi, of the function phi. And then if we have to find the function q2, and this is obtained by has to satisfy these two this equation, or by shifting also this one. So here p2 is given in term of the equation, so it's a function of phi, and we have to find some q2 which is for finite range, which means depend on a finite number of u's, which is such that satisfied this conservation laws. And we have two of these, because we can take one and then shift it by I shift by t2 to the minus 1, and I obtained this second equation. This must also be satisfied. And then this is explicitly written out, these two equations, where here I have the logarithm of phi 1 appearing here, and here I have the q2 in terms of all its values, its variables. And the main problem is to find the solution for q2. Now, these are two functional equations. We can apply this operator that is using, following some kind of Raydon and Haydon, raising and Haydon. We can introduce these two operators, A and B, and which reduce the two equations I wrote before, these two equations, to differential forms, to simple differential form. That is, A annihilate any function of u1 minus 1, 0 minus 1, minus 1, 1. So if I apply to this equation, I get that A of q is 0, when q is q2, while B annihilate is that q2 of minus 1, 1. And provide these equations, and then I can do some algebra on the equation I obtain. I use also the commutator, and I get this set of partial differential equation for the function q, which is a function of three variables. So the sum of the partial derivative must be 0, and then I have. These are A0, B, and C are function, specific function, we depend on the function phi. So these are these three equations. Now the solution, if I find a solution of this system, then means that my equation will satisfy the conservation law with m equal 2. But this is, I find the solution only if the logarithm of phi 1 of the first derivative of phi is a linear function of phi. And this, of course, means I can solve and I can find explicitly the form of phi. which satisfies. And in correspondence with this, I find with this P2, I find a Q2, which is given in this way. So it's a combination of three U's. So it's a trivial, non-trivial conservation laws. So I can find a non-trivial conservation law. So I can, in principle, a priori, there can be some generalized symmetry. However, this is just the first conditions. And now we have to find the other conditions. And we can obtain from this, from the relation of P and Q to G, we get the partial derivative of G, G U of 1, 0, and G U of minus 1, 0. From this equation, and then it's easy to see that the compatibility condition between these two derivatives is not satisfied. So effectively, at the second level, this additional integrability condition is not satisfied. So effectively, we do not have any generalized symmetries for this class of phis. We will have only some, and this is which is some two non-trivial conservation laws, but no generalized symmetry. And these non-trivial conservation law are there for any phi, not only for the phi which satisfy these conditions. So, concluding this class of equation, that is, this class of equation has two non-trivial conservation laws, but has no generalized symmetry, and so we cannot say that this is that is integrable. Okay, so this is just, then the main point which I would like to, which is where I open for discussion, is mainly what we have shown is that one can use this generalized symmetry to find some result, even if the result we have obtained is just for a very simple, almost trivial case, but the result is non-trivial. The problem is that to be able to solve this kind of equations, there is where one would like to have some idea, some suggestion, some to have on possibility of getting a solution for these conservation laws, and that is the something needed to go along, at least in a more general way. Okay.
But really, we can now to check for integrability any given equation of that class, any. But there was this illustrative example shows the scheme which works for the very general case. Calculations will be long using computer and so on, but there is theoretically, it's clear how to work with any given equation. A classification is a much more difficult problem. But here we consider almost trivial example. But in this way, we can consider some case with function of a known function of two variables and so on. Maybe.
Excuse me, may I ask a following question?
Of course.
As far as I understand, classification is not finished yet.
Certainly,
there exists some list of known interesting completely integrable system of this type, which you wrote. Is this list big or not? Let's see. How many integrable systems actually are known? Good to see this list.
Well, What is known is, of course, what was presented also before, the Adler-Bobienko-Suris or some other examples which are out of this, like the Q5 equation, or which was presented by Viollet and discussed by many people. But the problem is what we show that there are some problems for the real classification. That was also Ravilte just
now. Idealized classification is
so we don't have any we have problem in doing the classification, we don't have a list. Because the list, what is...
I don't know whether there are really a lot of them, or it is some restricted list. He said, but then the students that two, three, four systems. How many? Is it
you had the list at the start.
What?
Did you just go back to the list? You had the list at the start, didn't you?
I wrote the list by Adler.
I apologize a little bit.
Well, first of all, there is this equation which we wrote down. Which
this
is
yes, discrete Voltaire.
And then there was this list.
There was such list. Yes.
Yeah, but that is the list given by Adler, Bobienko, and Suris.
And there are extra examples like so-called Q5, for example.
There are extra examples
which do not belong to this list.
Such classification seems to be is not complete. But, what we see.
No chances.
Now that this 3D consistency is not very general property. Mm-hmm. Asymmetry, existence of general asymmetry is more general property, the most general property. So what we try now, we try to apply this with speed.
So if you compare things with the continuous case, there you would have infinity minutes and then the last increase. Is the same in the case here?
Yes, we suppose so. And in the case, in all this class, that is the case.
And are there facts proven, or is it just that you can calculate a few of them?
I think they have also a recursive operator, so you can construct all.
Yeah, of course, all known examples possess symmetries of symmetries and because of symmetries emerge. All of them, all known examples are tight.
It's concerning symmetry theory of these systems. As yesterday, what I heard in Hitarinta's talk, that's with Q. Let me just, maybe my understanding was a little bit wrong. I realized that all systems along the planes of this cube are of the same order, in different sense, order, second order. Yes, they were not the same system as an original plane, because they said that they all belong to some two-parametric system. Yes, so does it mean that in this approach, which was demonstrated yesterday, it was considered something like symmetries only of second order equation, linear equation, like with this faces of Q, all were just only of the same order? Because yeah. I remember in old Shabbat, in UFA approach, there were symmetries in continuous system, the differential equation of any order. But in this case, along the cubes, they are all the same
so
order.
Yes,
yeah. Only,
yeah.
Yeah. Is it some fundamental difference?
No, but
this depends from the fact that you start from just 4 points. So
Not only that, but you can also have multi-component systems.
Then if you take multi-component...
There are other examples, like this.
But all of them had same different order.
No. If you extend, if you live in this class,
you go out from
this class in some sense, which is the
second order.
Well, you go out from this class.
You can extend.
Well, to multi-field or to more points.
Multi-field, yes. So
and then you will get...
Can Can I ask a question about your system? So your statement is that in your, from your point of view, it is not integrable.
There is no integrable equation inside this.
On the other hand,
class.
On the other hand, if you look at the simplest periodic reduction, this, like where you identify downward shift and horizontal shift, you get mappings. So lower dimensional speed systems, which are much, say, are of standard type, and so there is a classification of Suris, actually, a very early one, of those maps basically, and there are integrable cases. In the sense you feel this, they're inside.
Well, but.
So, how can you reconcile that with the non integrability? It's a different notion of integrability.
You show us what moves precisely where.
So, basically, it means that you
well, if you do a reduction by saying that it doesn't depend on one index or something
you,
like that.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, basically, yes. Yeah. So you identify, for instance, the shift in the say, vertical direction with the backward shift in the horizontal direction. And then you get a second order ordinary difference operator right. equation. And then within that, there are integrable mappings which are
yeah,
integrable.
Of course. Well, because... then it's just backward. So means is trip? No.
Well, you get basically something.
Well, I would like to, because
something
how it
like
depends.
Forward shifted plus backward shifted is a function of the middle point. Mm-hmm. There are no cases of Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, this. Reduction may not be in some sense the request of generalized symmetry
yeah, yeah, yeah.
is something may be completely destroyed by this reduction.
Yeah, that's the conclusion. Probably.
It seems that if you that the existence of a generalized symmetry implies the existence of a conservation.
No. Well, that existed. Well, you can construct. Allow you to construct.
In general symmetry, you can construct a solution.
But not the other way around. So you've got kind of half of a Noether's theorem.
If equations Hamiltonian, for example.
It is nothing Hamiltonian was assumed. Yes. Translational invariance of symmetry was it assumed or not? Or even Hamiltonian case, if you have. A translation in non-invariant symmetry doesn't necessarily conservation. No, so that's yes, there is a point why it is so similar to Hamiltonian, to Lagrangian statement. Yes,
yes.
Symmetry implies something like conservation. No, I also
right.
this question naturally.
But here we consider more general cases. No Hamiltonian, no Lagrangian.
And still symmetry here. Even not necessarily translation invariant in a range, some sort of conservation law, as it was claimed in the talk, yes, in this case. Why some difference, such difference from 29 case? But difference, yes, I can remember.
The main technical difficulty is that the variational derivative doesn't help to solve the conservation laws.
Because you have to go to the...
But you don't have
well, you can in a, for a definite functions, but you can use it. And
the main difference is that before we had normal discrete equations in differential equations. Here we have the discrete This is analog of hyperbolic equations, but then those equations are also very difficult for the CDT.
Hyperbolic because it's a long along the square, it is just it's certainly second order. Hyperbolic type equation. like it is considered in the top, yes? Or maybe if you have symmetry, since it's somehow automatically some sort of Lagrange. There are such results. For example, Zakharov and Mikhailov proved many years ago that if you have some sort of Lux perfect restriction, you automatically have some Lagrangian structure. Yes? I forgot exactly. You know this paper,
yeah,
yes?
It's
hard to organize, to remember which kind of restrictions are in what they put in it.
It's basically
Lux. Some good properties which you have to make careful analysis on that. But it is possible, but if it is symmetry, it might be, especially translational invariance, it might be Lagrangian.
No, symmetries are very restricted. We can consider just what the abstract higher symmetries. What about Lux pair? Because consistency around the cube in some sense implies existence of Lux pair. What example? The Lux pair for the equation, can you
use it from the fact that we have an example. We can see what showed the example. Yes, but this example has LFA too. No, not a significant example. We showed at the beginning. Yes, it has not only what here we only showed what the general symmetry is, but we also can show LFA.
Is there a method
to...
For this Volterra equation is known, of course. For this particular equation, if you know, you show up, because we construct it.
Well, in the same way as you construct the equation, you can construct the... Because it's related to non-Lux pair. And modified Volterra too.
It's completely discretized.
Number five, you
mean? Yes, number five, of course. Not Volterra, not modified. This equation is close to them, but
No, I'm talking about this.
But if you know something, you know,
I'll tell you what I do.
Okay. Okay, so if there is no other question, I think we can close the call.